The third parak deals with two primary issues. The first half deals with fertilizing the field during the Shemitah year, or even just placing fertilizer on the field for storage purposes. And the second part will deal with removal of stones of various types from the field. For example, if you have pebbles or boulders, do you want to remove a stone fence, if you want a quarry from the field, and that indeed can give off the appearance of preparing the field or actually preparing the field for the Shemitah year. Mishnah Aleph starts off as follows: Meimasai Motzin Zvali Mashbatos. What they would do is typically they would have animals on a farm, and the animals were be in their barn or in their areas, and then they planted in the fields elsewhere, and they were not permitted to use the fertilizer from the animals, but they'd like to move it into the field and even just to store it. But the problem is, if you move it to this field, even just to store it, it gives off the appearance that you are going to be using it. So the Mishnah says, at what point can you finally, during the Shemitah year, move the manure into heaps? That's Ashbatos. When can you do that? And then at that point, it's going to be clear to everyone that I'm simply storing it for use after the Shemitah year. So we have three answers: Mishi Yifsuku, Ovrei Avoda, Divrei Rabbi Meir. So the first answer is when those who indeed violate the halachas of Shemitah and they do fertilize their fields, when they have stopped doing that prohibited activity, at that point we can bring out our manure and put it in piles, and it'll be clear to everyone that we're not actually fertilizing the field, but simply storing the fertilizer in piles on the field. That's Rabbi Meir. Number two is Rabbi Yehuda Omer Meshayiva Shamatok, when the matok, which is the fertilizer, it's sweetener, it sweetens the fruits and the produce. When it dries out, that is in the season, that is late in the season, so if we move it out of the barn, it's going to be clear that we are simply storing it out. And Rabbi Yossi Omer Mishi Kasher, when it dries up enough and thickens, that's the point that it's permitted to move the fertilizer out from the barns and into the fields. Mishnah Beis, Ad Kama Mizaplin. So now we're talking about that we need to build large piles in the field so it doesn't look like we're fertilizing. So how big and how many piles should we be building? Ad Shalosh Shalosh Ashbatos. We should be having three piles, three mounds of fertilizer, the base seah for each field that is the size of a base seah, which is 2,500 square amos, shall eser esper esher mashpelos, and each of those piles should be made up of 10 containers of manure when you carry them out, shall lesach lesach, in each container is 15 seah, so a total of 150 seah for each of those three piles, mosifin ala mashpelos, and the Mishnah continues that it's permitted to add more containers per pile. So for in each of those three piles, you can have more containers. You can make those piles bigger. Ve'ein mosifin al ashbatos, but you cannot have more than three piles, because then it looks like you're really fertilizing all over the three field. Build bigger piles, but three of them, it's clear to people that you are not fertilizing the field. Rabbi Shimon Omer af al ha'ashbatos. Rabbi Shimon is of the view that you can even have more than three piles, because as long as they are large piles, people aren't going to view it as you're fertilizing their field. You are simply storing with larger and more piles. That wouldn't be a problem. Mishnah Gimel. This is a repetition that we just said, that when you are bringing out the fertilizer, you can pile it on the field, even during the Shemitah year. And we said at what point in the Shemitah year, three piles for each field that is a base seah, 2,500 square amos. Yasser mikan machatziv devi Rabbi Shimon. And we just saw he was of the view that you can have more than three, and machatziv, you can even have up to the number of legs on a pot is a machatziv, which means you can have more than three, not a problem. Or others change the gear so that it shouldn't say machatziv, just simply it says mutter. Rabbi Shimon is telling us you can have more than three piles in the size of a base seah. Chachamim osrim, chachamim are the view. Three is the maximum, unless ad shiamik shlosha, if when you want to add in excess of three large piles, you dig down three, so the piles begin three tefachim under the ground, so it's clear to people that you are simply storing it there, but not that you're fertilizing the field, or ad shiagbia shlosha, or you elevate them three tefachim above the ground on top of something, so again, it's clear you're not using them to fertilize the field. Continuing, Osa Adam et Zivlo Otsar, it is permitted, even though we said you should have three piles, Chachamim even would agree that instead of three, you can have one massive pile. That's going to be clear to people that you're simply storing on the field. However, Rabbi Yossi says that is indeed prohibited. If you have a massive pile of manure, it looks like indeed you're fertilizing your entire field with it. Unless that huge pile, you dig it down in the field so it starts 3 tefachim under the ground, so it's clear you're storing it and not using to fertilize the field, or unless it's elevated 3 tefachim above the ground. What do you do if you don't have enough in your barn to bring out 3 massive piles for each beis se'ah, so you just have a little bit? It's okay to move it out. Mosif alav aholech, and what you'll simply do as the animals create more manure, you will add on to your pile or piles. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah oser, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah prohibits to move out a little bit because it looks like you're fertilizing unless you have 3 large piles. Unless, and he permits moving it out little by little, ad shi amik shlosha, on the condition, one of 3 conditions, if you have that little pile, you dig down 3 tefachim underneath, so it's clear you're not using it to fertilize the field. Oachi agbia shlosh, or it's elevated 3 tefachim above the ground. Oachi iten ala sela, or unless you put it on rock, solid rock, it's clear you're not using it to fertilize. That indeed would be permitted as well. Mishnah Dalet has a situation that somebody doesn't have a separate area for his animals. So he has his animals during the non-Shemitah years actually graze in his fields where he grows things. The problem is they will be fertilizing as they are eating there and living there. They will be fertilizing the field. So you're not allowed to do that on Shemitah. So we have a way to avoid making it look like we are having the animals there on purpose to fertilize and manure the field. Mishnah Dalet says what you're permitted to do is Hamidayer et Sadehu, somebody who is indeed having his animals penned up in his field that he grows in. What you do is Oses Sahar Lebesa Asayim, you make an enclosure that is the size of 2 beis se'ah. 1 beis se'ah is 2,500 square amas, so you make it the size of 5,000 square amas. And the issue here is you're not allowed to have the animals roam the entire property because then it looks like you are having them fertilized. So you make it clear to people that you're cordoning up them in a special enclosed area, the size of 2 se'ah, 5,000 square amah. And then when they fill that with manure, what you're going to do is that enclosure had 4 sides on it. You're going to uproot 3 of the sides, oker shalosh ruchos, and you're going to build those 3 on the opposite side of the standing wall that you left there. Maniach et hamtzais, leave the little one. So you're going to have 5,000 square amahs on one side, and then you're going to just flip it over to the other side of that standing mechitza, and you're going to allow to do that 2 times, that first time and the second time, for a total of 10,000 square amas. Nimsa midayar beis arba se'in. What you do is you're simply penning those animals up in 2 different stages over 4 beis se'ah. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel Omer, he fundamentally agrees with the concept, but he says you're not limited to doing that 2 times, 2 beis se'ah and then 2 beis se'ah next day. You can do that 4 times for a total of 8 beis se'ah. So Omer beis shmona se'in, you're allowed to do it 4 times, moving the walls around, as long as you don't do that over your entire property. So what happens then is if you have a small field, and accordingly you have a very small field, and we just said you can do 2 beis se'ah and 2 beis se'ah, or you can do 2, 2, 2, 2, according to the second opinion, but that's going to cover your whole field. So haisa kol sadeo beis arba se'in, if your whole field was a total of 4 beis se'ah, so then you would, if we do the even the Tanakam, who said you can do it twice, you're going to be covering your whole field with manure, so you can't do that. Mishayir mimene ksas, when you do this structure of building the enclosure and having your animals live in enclosure, you can't do 5,000 square amas and 5,000 square amas for a total of 10,000. You have to make sure that you don't enclose them in a certain area in your field. You have to leave a place that the enclosure did not include, that the animals would not manure. Nibnei marasayin, to make sure to clear to people that you're not doing this on purpose in order to fertilize the whole field. It's simply that your animals are living there. And continuing, what happens if you did this? You did either the construct of 5,000 and 5,000 like the Tanakama for 10,000, or if you did it 4 times, at a certain point, umotzi et asahar, at a certain point, we indeed have to remove the enclosure. When it gets all full of manure, v'nosa letoch sadeo k'derach mezamlim, and we would remove the manure from those enclosures, because now it looks like it's full of manure on the entire fields that it was. You have to take them out of those areas and pile them up in piles, as we discussed before, 3 piles for each beis se'ah, so it's clear to everyone that we are simply storing that manure, and we are not fertilizing the fields. Now we're going to get in with Mishnah Hay on quarrying of stones, and then we're going to continue talking about removal of stones during the Shemitah year. So Mishnah Hay is going to tell us that if we have a quarry that's already exposed, people can see that it's a quarry coming into the Shemitah year, as long as it's a minimum of a certain size, we're permitted to quarry it on the Shemitah year. So lo yivtach adam achtze betchila tochsa. They are not permitted to start to uncover a quarry. That means to uncover the stone in a field. It has to be exposed coming into the Shemitah year, and it also has to be achiyubo shalosh murbios. It has to be the exposed area is three large slabs of stone. This is the minimum amount of stone that has to be exposed. And now we're going to say how big do those slabs have to be? Shen shalosh al shalosh al rom shalosh. That they are, each one of those three slabs has to be a minimum of 3 by 3 by 3 square amos. And what that comes out to is shiuran for all of the slabs together, esri v'sheva avanim, that's going to be a total of 27 smaller slabs, 1 by 1 by 3 amos. So that is when it's permitted to quarry. It is permitted if we have the all of that stone exposed. And also, as we'll see in the next Mishnah, there's another requirement, even when we quarry it, because it's uncovered, it's exposed coming into the Shemitah year, not a Mara sign, but also we cannot go all the way down to the bottom. We have to leave a minimum of a tefach of stone at the bottom. We can't go all the way down. So we'll see that shortly. Mishnah Gimel. Gader sheyesh bo eser avanim shel masui shnayim shnayim. If we want to, we have a stone wall built and we want to move it, because what we want to do is we want to use the stone for construction. But the problem is it gives off the appearance that we are clearing stones in order to cultivate the field, that we want to plant the field, plow the field. So the Mishnah says if that wall is of a minimum size, that it has 10 stones, that's 10 large stones, that each of those 10 would require 2 people to move. They're very significant. Hare elu yinatelu, it's permitted to move that wall and even the smaller stones of that wall during the Shemitah year, because people are going to understand you're not moving such a huge wall in order simply to cultivate the ground. You obviously want those stones for construction purposes. Shir gadar asar tfachim, this heter to move that wall only applies if the height of that wall, that stone wall, is a minimum of 10 tfachim high. Pachos mikan, however, if it's less than this, which means if it's less than 10 tfachim, or if you have fewer than 10 stones that are that large that you need 2 people to carry each one, so you don't fulfill the requirements, machatsev, we are going to treat that lesser wall like the prior Mishnah that we said that quarrying, that we had a requirement when it came to quarrying, that you can quarry stones under certain circumstances, but even then you can only go up to a tefach from the ground. You can't do the whole thing. So if we have a stone wall that doesn't fulfill the requirements of being 10 tefachim high and 10 stones that are all very large, the goma mu'at pachos me'aret tefach, it's still permitted to remove that wall, but you cannot remove the whole thing. You have to leave it, you have to leave at least a tefach on the bottom, so it's clear to people that we're not working the land in order to cultivate it, in order to plow it, to plant it on the during the Shemitah year. B'med dvarim amurim, now the Mishnah is going to qualify, when do we have those limitations that we've listed so far, and also in the prior Mishnah, quarrying mitoch shaloh, this applies when we are removing that wall or quarrying in my own property, aval mitoch shal chaveiro, but if it's somebody else's property, mashu rotze yito, I can remove what I want, I can quarry somebody else's property, I can remove even a smaller wall from somebody else's property, because people are going to see I'm not cultivating my own property. I'm removing stones from somebody else's property, and they're going to understand that I'm doing that because I want the stones for construction. Construction is permitted during the Shemitah year. They understand it's not that I want to work the land. Medvarim Amorim, and even if it's in my own field, when are we restricted and when are we not restricted to remove that wall? To quarry bisman shelo hischil bo me'ar shvi'is, we have a problem of removing stones if I did not start in the sixth year, even at the end of the sixth year, avalim hischil bo me'erev shvi'is, but if I started removing at the end of the sixth year, mashu rotza notal, I'm permitted to remove stones, even if it doesn't fit the requirements that we've listed, because people are going to see that I started before the Shemitah year. They're going to understand that I need it those stones for construction purposes and not that I'm cultivating the land. Mishnah Zayin. Other times that it's permitted to remove stones from a field during the Shemitah year, Avanim Shiziasana Maharesha. If in the sixth year, while somebody was plowing, the plow shook the stone so that now they're loose, or even if somebody is going to plow in the future, for example, in the eighth year, and that will happen, those stones are close enough to the surface that they're going to get loosened. Hoshayu Mechusas V'nizgalu, or if we have stones that in the sixth year they were uncovered by a plow in the sixth year, so now they are viewable. The Mishnah says, "Im yesh ben shtayim shel masui shnayim shtayim." If of the stones I have a minimum of two that require two people to move them, so they're fairly large. The Mishnah says, "Harei elu yinatelu." I'm permitted to move those large stones, and not only all those large stones, but all of the loosened and uncovered stones. It's permitted to move because people understand I'm moving that for construction purposes. How about completely loose stones? That was when they were somewhat loose, or they would become loosened, or they were at least uncovered. How about if I have totally loose stones on the surface of my field? So somebody who has a pile, for example, of stones, pebbles, and wants to remove them, no teles elyonos, it is permitted to remove the upper ones, umaniach es hanogos bars, but you have to leave the ones that are closest to the ground, so it's clear that you're not removing these stones in order to plant, because you're not able to plant if there's still a layer of them on the surface of the soil. V'chein gar ger shel troros, if you have a pile of pebbles, or gal shel avanim, if you have a mound of stones, no teles elyonos, you are permitted to remove the upper ones, umaniach es hanogos bars, as long as you leave the ones that are touching the ground, because then it is clear to everyone that we are not removing all the stones in order to plant and cultivate during the Shemitah year. Yesh tachtein selo akash. In addition, if there is underneath that mound of pebbles or stones, bedrock, if there's stone underneath it, it's not that it's topsoil, okash, or if you have a layer of straw underneath, harei elu yinatailu, you're permitted to remove all of the stones, because it's clear to people as well, because you don't have the soil right there, you are on top of a stone, or you have a layer of something else, for example, straw, you're not going to be able to be planting, so that wasn't your intention in removing all the stones. Mishnah Ches, ein boni madregos al piageos, it's not permitted to build steps down to a ravine, down to a wadi, Erev Shvis, which is during the sixth year, Mishapaskwa Gshamim, after the rainy season has completed. So the concern here is that somebody is going to be building stairs down to a ravine in order to access the water that's down there from the rainy season. And when are they going to use it? They're not going to use it now during the sixth year because it's almost over. The concern is it's giving off the appearance, Mibnei Shum Esak and Leshvis, it gives off the appearance that he is building those steps in order to access the water and irrigate his field during the Shemitah year. So that's again a Maris Ayin problem. Abonahu Beshvis, what he can do is he permitted to build those madregos, to build those steps down during the Shemitah year. There's not a problem building during Shemitah year unless it gives off a Maris Ayin problem that I'm doing it for building, for using my field, for cultivating my field. But if I'm avabono b'shvis, I'm permitted to build stairs down during the Shemitah year, Mishapasu Kshamim, after the rainy season has completed, because Mipneshu Metak de Lamotse Shvis, I'm giving off simply the appearance that I'm having these stones so I can access the water, not for the Shemitah year, but to use it to irrigate my field in the year after Shemitah, and that's not a problem. And in addition, talking about going down into the wadi in order to build and access the water, how about building a dam in order to stop up the water? So the Mishnah says, "V'lo yismach be'afar." It's not permitted to build a dam. And dam, it means literally with the dirt. But when you build the stone wall in order to create that dam, it's not permitted to cement it or to put dirt between the stones, because that is really looking like that is really stopping all the water. Of al osehu chayitz, what you can do is you can put up a mechitza, a boundary with just stones, without cement, without mortar between these stones. That would be permitted during the Shemitah year. And in addition, when you are doing those two types of construction, be it in a permitted way, building those steps down to the wadi or building the dam to stop the water in a permitted way without cementing between them, so you need stones for that. Any stone, be it big or small, that when you are from your construction site, you can simply lift out your hand and access and reach that stone, harezo tinatal, it's permitted to take those stones, but because people see you're simply taking the stones in order to, for your construction, your permitted construction project during this Shemitah year. Continuing, Mishnah test, other times that it's permitted to move stones, if you have avnei kasef, which are literally, we'll explain what it means soon, but it means shoulder stones. So the stones that are apparently carried on your shoulders, ba'ot mikomakam, it is permitted to carry them because there are large stones. People understand that when you carry it, even from your own property, that you're using it for construction, though that is permitted to remove from your property, other people's property, because they have the requisite size that they would be used for construction. Ha-kablan, if we have a contractor, people know his profession, maybe mikomakam, he's permitted to move stones even from his own property, even tiny stones. People know that he's using it for construction purposes. Ve'elohen avne kasef. So anyone, we said, is permitted. Even a non-kablan, non-contractor is permitted to move these shoulder stones during the Shemitah year. So how big do they have to be in order to not create a marasayin that looks like you're removing them in order to cultivate your field? As long as it's too big that you cannot move it with one hand. So that's a fairly large stone, even a boulder. You need two hands to carry it, or you need to put it on your shoulder. That is the opinion of Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yossi, Omer, Rabbi Yossi is more makel. It can be even smaller than that. He looks at the phrase, Avnei Kasef Kishman. Look at the Shem, look at the name. It means plural tense. Avnim, Avnei is more than one. Kol Sheni Talos Shtaim Shalosh Ala Kasef. Anytime they are the size of stone that you can put two or three on your shoulder, that is considered an Avnei Kasef. And that's not massive boulders like Rabbi Meir, but Rabbi Yossi says, as long as they fit the requirement that you need to move them, not in your hand, but you need to put them on your shoulders, even two or three at a time, there's not going to be a concern that people are going to think you're removing them to cultivate your field. They're going to understand those are large enough for construction purposes. Mishnah Yod, Abone Gader, Beino, Bein Rishus HaRabim, somebody who wants to build a Gader, a stone wall, a wall between him and the Rishus HaRabim, Mutar Lahamik Adasel, it's permitted for him to dig into the ground and even reach the bedrock. The Bartonu explains that we're not concerned that he's going to change his mind and cultivate that soil, because indeed the norm would be that you want a wall and you don't want to plant your crops all the way up to Rishus HaRabim. Mayase Be'afar, so now that he is digging out next to the Rishus HaRabim, what should he do with the dirt? So the Mishnah said, Sovra Rishus HaRabim Umetakno, you can put it up in the Rishus HaRabim temporarily, Umetakno, and then remove it from the Rishus HaRabim. You can't leave it there permanently. Div Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Akiva Omer, Kederach Shein Mekalkalin Rishus HaRabim, Kach Lo Yitakenu. Just like you can't leave stuff permanently in the Rishus HaRabim, that is causing an obstruction. You also can't put stuff in the Rishus HaRabim in order to remove it thereafter. So you can't put your stuff, even temporarily, according to Rabbi Akiva, your dirt into the Rishus HaRabim, Maaseya Be'afar. So accordingly, what does Rabbi Akiva say? If you can't put your dirt into the Rishus HaRabim, so what do you do with it? So he says, Sovro b'soch sadeyu kederach hamizablim. He's permitted to move it into his field, but he has to be careful. He can't give off the appearance of putting it into his field in order to fertilize his field. So he has to do it, as we discussed before, when somebody moves manure from the barn, he has to as well put it in three piles to make it clear that he's not fertilizing the field. Here it wouldn't be fertilizing, he'd be putting dirt all over the field. He has to put it in three piles, large piles, to make it clear to everyone he's simply storing the dirt there, but not using it to spread it out to improve the land during the Shemitah year. And the Mishnah continues that this same machlokes between Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Akiva, can you put your dirt even temporarily into the public area, into Rishus HaRabim, applies not only during the Shemitah year, but also non-Shemitah years. V'chein achofer bor, somebody who is digging a kit, v'shiach in a ditch, u'mehara in a cave. During non-Shemitah years, we have this machloket with Rabbi Yeshua permitting somebody to temporarily put the dirt into the Rishus HaRabim, and Rabbi Akiva saying, even on a temporary basis, that is not permitted.